If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the New Testament, the letter of 1 Peter, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 2. I'll give you guys a little startle back there. I didn't give y'all 1 Peter, did you? That was where I opened up this morning. Philippians chapter 2. We call them books, and that's fine, but they're really just letters. They're letters written by, you know, the Lord's apostles to us, the believers then, the believers since then, the believers now, the believers in the future, about the Lord and His will for our lives. Philippians chapter 2. And when you have it, would you say, I've got it? Okay, that's pretty good. If you still need to get there, go ahead and do what you need to do. I would like to ask you to join as we make our confession together. And I don't want to just do this out of habit, but I believe there's a place for it, certainly. And it's good to, what we confess is important. And so this is an opportunity for us to confess something about the Lord and His Word together. So I'd like to invite you to join me. Those of you online, we put the words up, I believe, so you can join as well. So would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. What great potential that we have to actually say that seed can get into our hearts and we can really maybe never be the same, but be more like Jesus. One verse, just really want to start off here to focus on Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault. Let me pause there just a minute. It doesn't say that you may become sinless, because in this life, we won't reach that point until we see Jesus face to face. Then we'll be like Him if we know Him. But to be blameless and harmless actually has the idea of being pure. We're not mixed with evil. So that you may be blameless and harmless, you may be pure, not mixed with evil. And He says, children of God, without fault, in the midst, now notice the contrast, please, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, a people group or even a culture, a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, among whom you shine. So a Christ-like testimony is in contrast to a world culture that is described as crooked and perverse, or the word perverse, again, Jesus mentioned that about the people of His generation, that time frame, and it means to turn away from truth. So in the midst of a generation that is, if you say, crooked or corrupt, and one that turns from the truth, we as believers are to shine by living different from how the world lives. And so He says, you shine as lights in the world, in this world of darkness that's been darkened by sin, we're to shine brightly for the Lord. And so that's just the focus I want to take for a few minutes this morning, is just those two words, shine brightly, shine brightly. I want to say something about that crooked. It says a crooked generation. Some of you are familiar, I'm sure. How many of you would know what a plumb line is? A plumb line, many of you. I saw, you know, my dad had one because he built houses. And what it is, it's basically like a string that has a weight on it. And when you hold it up, the weight brings it to where the line is straight. So you can put it beside maybe a wall, for example, or a post and see, is this straight? Because it may look like it's kind of straight, but you can't really tell until you put it by the plumb line. You know, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, God showed him a plumb line, and he said, that's my word. And I think it's important for us, that I'll say even maybe more so for me, any of us who have the opportunity to share God's word, there's a place sometimes we need to call out maybe a specific sin or whatever it may be and address a current issue. But if that's, you know, we could consume ourselves so much with trying to figure out the latest this and the latest that and so forth. And I believe there's a better option. I've heard it from others. And that's just, why don't we just put the straight out? Why don't you hold the plumb line up? And then if something's crooked, it'll reveal it. So I just want to keep holding up the plumb line. But the culture says this, and culture did that, and what about this, and what about, I'm going to humble the plumb line. And just keep giving a word as straight as I know how, and allow the Lord to reveal, that's crooked. That's not straight. That's not in line with his word. So to shine brightly here. And then he says, because Jesus, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount basically said we can shine, or we're to shine with godly works. Here he basically says, the scripture says we shine with godly words. Notice I purposely skipped over the verse 14 right before it, but let's look at that now and kind of get it in the context. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. Wow. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Some of your translations may say, do all things without complaining and arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That without complaining and disputing, complaining and arguing, the word complaining there is also translated grumble. How many of you know what it means to grumble? Any of you grumble? For all of you who are just eternal optimists, and you're always upbeat, and you're always positive, and you always see the silver lining in the cloud, I just want to say to all of you, thank you for making the rest of us feel so bad. And I will confess to you, that is not my initial response always. And I catch myself sometime grumbling. It's like you're muttering a complaint or just, you know, whatever it may be. And the word is also to whisper. So do all things without grumbling, murmuring, without whispering, and without disputing, doubting, arguing. What he's basically saying is, in contrast to the world, he says, we're to rise above the complaining and the grumbling, the whispering that characterizes unbelief. That's the key. It characterizes unbelief. And then he also says, rise above just the divisive arguing that we can see so rampant and so we hear so like everywhere in our world today. And he says, no, my sons and daughters, I've called you to a higher life and to rise above. And it's easier for me now, I can tell you, this word challenges me, but it also encourages me. And here's how. When my initial response to something may be to just grumble, to complain, maybe focus on the negative, or, you know, I'm kind of expressing just my doubt and you know, just maybe want to get into the arguing and kind of feed on it and just keep it going, and maybe instead of letting something die out, I remember something that Brother Mark has said. I realize when the Holy Spirit kind of arrests me and brings that to my attention, I catch myself doing it, I realize I don't have to park there. I don't have to park there in the complaining, murmuring, grumbling lot. I don't have to park in the divisive, just arguing lot here. But I want to just, in fact, see, that's like the devil. He wants to condemn us when we initially feel, you know, it's like I initially started something, and then he wants to see, yeah, look at you, you big Christian. Yeah, look at you, you big hip. Oh, shine brightly for Jesus. Go ahead. Somebody can relate to what I'm saying. And sometimes we have those people in our lives who just like to ride that out. But God, see, that's the devil. That's not the Lord. The Lord wants to encourage us. So I hope that's what he will let me do today, is to say, hey, yes, you might have that initial, you may have that tendency, but thank God he made a way of victory. And by the grace and power of God, we can shine brightly for the Lord in a dark world. So as I really, Kim would tell you, I really kind of wrestled with this week. I've read over it and just prayed and sought the Lord. And I believe there are three steps here, right in this context, right in the letter, three actions I believe we can take that will help us shine brightly. Again, none of us have arrived. We're in the process, but centered on these three. And if you want to put all three of them up there, it's really centered on three verbs, three action words. And they center on our focus. So to focus, to rejoice, and then to speak. So to focus, and we'll take a moment, go over each one. I'll give you the scriptures. You don't have to be a speed writer. But to focus on Jesus, because what we focus on tends to grow, right? And our lives tend to go in the direction of our most dominant thoughts. So focus on Jesus. Then as we get our focus onto him, it does something within us, and we can choose to rejoice in the Lord. So to focus on Jesus, then as I rejoice in the Lord, because what I need is not just a change in vocabulary, I need a change of something in my heart. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So to rejoice in Jesus, and then to bring something out of my mouth to speak the word of life. So let's take a moment here and let's look at these. So first, to focus on Jesus. And I won't read every verse here, but let me go back to verse 5. Still in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says this: let this mind, or let this mindset, some translations say your attitude should be that of which was also in Christ Jesus. And these verses are just a powerful, they reveal that Jesus is our perfect example and he is our powerful example, because ultimately he is the light of the world to shine brightly. So as we begin to focus on Jesus, he is our example. He is our example in humble trust of his Father. And that's what he calls us to do, humble trust. Jesus demonstrated sacrificial love for us when he denied himself and suffered and died on the cross in judgment and punishment for our sins. That's sacrificial love. But he not only demonstrated sacrificial love, he demonstrated glorious power when 3 days later he arose from the grave and conquered death. And we serve a living, risen Savior. And there is nothing too hard for him. And the rest of those verses just go on to say, because of what Jesus did for us and as our example, God has highly exalted him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, earth, under the earth, and every tongue will one day confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I wanted you to see, understand there, because then he says in verse 12, therefore, that takes us back to the example of Jesus. So we focus on Jesus. So he says, therefore, my beloved, you're loved by the Lord. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He's writing this letter to them. It can't be them with him in person right then, but he tells them and he tells us, work out your own salvation. He does not say work for your salvation, because that is impossible. Salvation is a gift of God. It is by grace. It has nothing to do with our works. It has nothing to do with how good we are, this or that. It only has to do with the goodness of God that he freely, openly, basically presents to us and offers us. But once we come to that place, in fact, if I could even ask it like this, Are you light? Are you light? In other words, has the Spirit of God convicted you of sin and drawn you to the light of Jesus as Lord? To believe in your heart, not just, yeah, I believe in God. No, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If so, then His light, His Spirit is in you, and we can shine brightly for the Lord. So now he says then, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. See, once we experience the love and grace of God, then with love and gratitude, He wants us to worship and serve Him and live our lives for Him, living to the glory of God. So God gives us that desire and the power to do His will, to shine brightly. So he says, God is working in you. Now you work it out. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. You can't live my salvation for me, and I can't live your salvation for you. I can pray for you, love you, encourage you, bless you, whatever it might be. But we must each have our own individual and personal relationship and walk with the Lord if we're going to have one. No one else can do that for us. I can eat some good food, and I can tell you how good it is, but it doesn't benefit you. I can say, hey, man, you ought to check this out. Well, that's all I'm doing. You ought to check Jesus out and give yourself completely to Him to shine brightly for the Lord, but to focus on Him and then to work it out. Man, you got to work it out every day, day in, day out. Work out your own salvation with holy awe and reverence for God. We have such an awe of God that we don't take Him lightly. And just kind of blow Him off. No, it would cause us to tremble in the right way in His presence with fear and trembling. I really believe this, and maybe it's something I need, but I believe it will help me to complain less if I fear God more. Because He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who's working in you both the desire and the power to do His will and do all things without complaining and arguing. Wow. We just say, shine brightly. Focus on Jesus. So I'll just ask you this. Please think about it. So what is God working in you right now? How would you say you need to grow more like Jesus? Because whatever that is, God is able to orchestrate people and events in such a way that He accomplishes His will through us. See, I haven't arrived yet, and I still need to grow more like Jesus. And somehow, if I just trust the sovereignty and goodness and power of God, that He will somehow work it out, and when I catch myself grumbling, complaining, and arguing, all right, Lord, help me to draw me back to the Lord so that ultimately I shine brightly for Him. I just found out something when I went. It reminded me of this because I recently had some blood work done. It had nothing to do with COVID. It was something else. But I asked them to check my COVID immunity because I tested positive, went through that long, kind of a prolonged, because of the Labor Day weekend isolation, and I had no response, no immunity. I may have had a false positive. And went through all that solitary confinement just for the fun of it. So my initial reaction was, oh, you're kidding me, right? I mean, but all I can say is, Lord, you knew and I didn't. And all I can say is, your will be done. No sense complaining about it now. And so, thank God, His will be done. But focus on Jesus. And you know what happens? If we get our focus right, so that's one of the reasons I love coming together to pray and worship, because if I focus on Jesus, it gives me a true perspective. It gives me the right perspective, and I can see temporary situations in the light of eternal truth. And when I see it in the proper perspective, I'm less likely to complain about what's just momentary or inconvenient. because it's not really about me, it's about Jesus. But brothers and sisters, you know, if we just focus on what's temporary and we focus on ourselves and how it's about us, so we focus on the negative and we focus on the sin and the wrongs, it's going to affect our attitude and it will affect our speech. So let it remind you to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Would you say that with me? Focus on Jesus. And then number two, rejoice in the Lord. Focus on Jesus and then rejoice in the Lord. Let me read you a couple of verses here. Chapter 1, verse 18. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18 says this. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. These words were written by a man who is in prison for his testimony of Jesus. So we can't always change circumstances, can we? But we can focus on Jesus and rejoice. He's our source. That's the thing. If we can't rejoice in a circumstance or situation or person or trial, we can rejoice in the Lord because He's with us if we know Him. Do you see how that could help us to shine brightly? So over in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, he says, yes, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, hey, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. And for the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. See, we can choose to rejoice in the Lord because of His goodness and the fact that He is with us. I'm going through a rough time. Man, this is hard right now. But Lord, I thank you that you're with me. Aren't you glad that we can have a source of joy and gladness, some inner peace that is not limited by this world? It's not limited by circumstances, not limited by, you know, whatever it may be. Thank God we can focus on the Lord and we can find joy in Him. Really, our joy comes out of close fellowship with Jesus and the assurance that God's Word is truth. That's where our joy comes from. If we don't believe the Word, if we don't know that the Lord is with us, then, yeah, of course, we're not going to have the same amount of joy. But when we focus on the Lord, and we focus on His goodness, and we focus on His love, and we focus on His mercy, and we focus on where we once were and where He's brought us from, and we focus on the fact that Jesus has begun a good work in us and He's going to continue, and we focus on His truth and His power and His greatness, then it gives us reason to rejoice. Now, we can be honest. I don't want anyone to feel like, well, I can't be human. Yes, you can. We're allowed to be human, all right? So focus on Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. In fact, would you look at this in chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He's being real right here. He says this, Philippians 3, 18, for many walk of whom I've told you often, and even now I tell you with weeping, I'm crying over this, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetite, their desires, who glory in their shame and who set their mind on earthly things. See, he's being honest. We can be honest about what we see. We can be honest about what we hear. We can be honest about what we feel. If you live long enough, we're going to have times of mourning and loss. We're going to have moments of anger. That's just being human and living in this life and living in this world. The issue is, in fact, that's it. The issue is, you know, we can confront people. Maybe we're parents and we can correct our children. But see, we can do it in the right way and with the right heart. But if we park in that complaining lot and we park in that arguing lot, you know what's going to happen. Our joy is going to evaporate. And that's one of the ways I can tell if I've crossed the line and started to park instead of just driving through because my joy is down. But see, so we focus on Jesus, then rejoice in the Lord, and then we speak the word of life. This is what he says in chapter 2 and verse 16. chapter 2 and verse 16. They're in Colossians still. In fact, I want to back up. Let me read verse 14 once again, all right? Chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That Greek word there is translated, it has both meanings. It can mean to hold fast, like I'm holding. Now, to hold fast doesn't mean to withhold. It's to hold it. I've got the word in my heart. I'm holding it fast, but it also means I'm holding it forth. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm offering it to others. So focus. Would you say this with me? Or how about if you say it after me, all right? Would you say, focus on Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Speak the word of life. So again, remember, see, our words can help direct our thoughts and minds. Sometimes, you know, we have those battles with our wandering minds, don't we? You just go to pray. And then everything in the world can come up. It's like every distraction and even right now, sometimes you might feel like you're bombarded. I believe it's helpful. Brothers and sisters, there's like a mind and mouth connection. If we open up our mouth and begin to pray a little bit out loud or focus or confess that scripture, it can help direct our mind and direct our focus. That's what the word in scripture means. To meditate is not just a mind exercise. It's a mind and a mouth exercise. And speak the word of truth. God's word is truth. It's a word of life. God's word is life-giving. God's word is powerful. God's word is comforting. God's word is encouraging. God's word is edifying. It's building up. And even when it's convicting, if we respond the right way, it's life-giving. It's powerful to confess and speak the word of God. The Bible says this is your life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's life-giving. So we can speak life to ourselves. Say we can replace those negative, corrupt, lifeless, faithless, barren words with life-giving, faith-filled, powerful words. Not our words, the word of life from the one who is the word of life. The word of God. And don't you know, as we begin to do that, we'll rise above the arguing, the complaining, the whatever. Yes, we can be honest. We declare it. We confess it. Get it off our chest. Air it out a little bit. But then don't park there. Come back to the Word. And when we do what God says, it will lighten us. And we'll shine like a bright light in a dark world. Shine brightly. Shine brightly. I want to give you just one more scripture if you want to write it down. In fact, I'm going to turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Again, Jesus talking about the light. I'll close with this. Matthew chapter 5. Focus on Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. He's my source of joy. I'm crying, but he's still my source of joy. I'm angry, but he's still my source of joy. I don't even know what's going on right now, but he's my source of joy. Thank you, Lord, for your love, joy, and peace. Just stand close to him and then speak the word of life. Speak the word of life. If we believe it, it will help us. Now, if I'm in doubt, I might not speak it. But if I settle it in my heart and mind, God's word is true. This circumstance says that. This person says that. I'm hearing this. But God's word is true. So I'm going to believe it. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to share it. The word of life. Jesus speaking in Matthew 5 and verse 14. He says this. Verse 14. He tells the believers, he's saying to all of his followers, then and now and future, You, just like we read earlier, you shine as lights in the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light. You are the light of the world, he says, verse 14. And he says, you're like a city that's set on a hill that can't be hidden. Watch this. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. The lamps were, you know, we figure it was a candle or a little lamp, like a clay oil pot that would have a little light there to it. So he says, people don't light those type of lights and then hide them under some kind of a basket or bushel. Notice he says that they place them on a lampstand so that it gives light to how many? To all who are in the house. And brothers and sisters, see, that's why God calls us to be the light where we are. He places us. Do you believe that? He sets us in a place so that we can shine in a way that others see the light and give glory to God. So when we go through those times, yes, we can sometimes, we can do something wrong. We can put ourselves in some mess. I'm talking about those that God sovereignly orchestrates. And see, even then, if we'll get back in line, he'll work with us and use us. I can tell you that. So he'll place us. He might even allow, because remember, he's working something in us that we're to work out. So we work it out. And then as we do, others can see if we're genuine or not. Not perfect, but others can see if we're genuine, if we're real. And if we'll just keep coming back, everything in the world is distracting us, but if I just keep coming back to focus on Jesus, and if I find my joy and a sense of just calmness and peace within from him, and I choose to rejoice, and I speak the word of life, then we will shine, and wherever we are, where God places us, even for a season, we will be there in such a way that others can see and give glory to God. That's ultimately what it's about. It's not to draw attention to us. It's to give glory to God so that they can be light too. Shine brightly. I want to read you these verses. I'm going to close. Just going back, Philippians chapter 2 from the Passion Translation. I just like how it was worded. And then we'll pray. It says this, live a cheerful life. Philippians 2:14. Live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For then you'll be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture, for you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, holding forth or holding out the words of eternal life. In a dark world, the light of Jesus needs to shine through us. Now, some will reject the light because they want sin. But some will want the light. Some will want the light of truth. They'll want the light of forgiveness and love that Jesus offers. And it's up to us to shine brightly for them. May the Lord use us to shine brightly in these days in which we live. Shine brightly. Can we close in prayer? Would you stand with me?